Lime, duh. Yo, what up? Welcome to the Cow Underground secret bonus episode. Drop it at you on the main feed. I am here with two men, two very popular men in the Cow universe. Two men you know who have been at each other's throats on the Facebook group. And I said, let's bring it to the pod. Let's bring it to the pod. Let's get off the internet if you're in the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group. Remember, this podcast, this is on the main feed. This is brought to you by the Patreon. I mean, this is spicy bonus content I'm giving you for free. Patreon.com/Comedians Wrestling. Sign up, get some bonus episodes. Also, on Sunday when this drops, we'll be having the Cow Zoom Thunderdome.
Wow. Oh, boy.
We're going to be hanging out, watching Hell in a Cell with the patrons. It's going to be very fun. And all right, let's introduce my two guests for this episode. The first guy, you know this guy. He's always on the bonus episodes. He's the supermark, Mr. Nick Tulo. What's up?
I'm just admiring my fucking mustache right now. I mean, it is insane. It's on another level. Look how beautiful it is.
It looks great. I see you. I see you.
Wow.
And this guy.
Look at this hoodie, too.
I love that hoodie. That's really cool. It's like AJ Styles. So you'll see it, the Zoom video. It's Jumpman. On our YouTube page. It's like the Jumpman, Michael Jordan, but it's AJ giving the phenomenal forearm. That actually is a really cool sweatshirt. I actually really like that. Can I get that? Where did you get that?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I think I just stumbled upon it. I think Santa Claus got it for me.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds like a very shady way you got it. And anyway.
Is that a bit of bootleg merch or is that legit merch?
No, I think it's bootleg, but it's, you know.
I mean, is it from PWT?
I don't think so. I don't remember where I got it from, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, it looks great. It looks great.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, man.
The next guest here, he already did a surprise intro.
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
You're a winner. Welcome to the Space Olympics, the year 3022.
Jason Shapiro in the house. Put the Space Olympics there. Jason Shapiro, Nick Tulo in the house. Two men who are disagreeing about pro wrestling. And I feel like let's bring it here. We have no agenda. We're just
I'm going to have to cut you. I'm going to cut you off right there. Sorry. I got to cut you off. That's not what I was brought onto the show to do. This is a misrepresentation of why I was summoned and why I was tapped.
Should we start over?
And I will not be bamboozled by my own best friend like this. Okay.
It should be. You see what I have to deal with now, like all the time?
I've been dealing with this for fucking my whole life. I don't even want to get into it.
Voices in my head.
No. All right, let's bring it down. I was brought
okay,
to the
so
show.
You're saying that okay? You were brought to the show. Last night I was on Facebook. You two guys were going at each other about Bailey back and forth. And so I go, yo, let's record this, save it for the pod, and that's how this started. And you're acting like this has not happened.
That's not how it started.
First of all,
first of all, I think you are pinning us. I think you know one thing. You know that Tulo brings such a Mark energy that it's good to have a little bit of that positive. Tulo has what I call ultimate positivity for wrestling. Mm. So that you are now, it's like how Howard Stern had Robin Givens, right? So he could say whatever fucked up shit he wants. Cause he said, look, there's a black woman here. So I can't be wrong. I'm not racist. I'm not a misogynist. Cause I have a person.
You mean Robin Quivers?
Who'd I say?
Givens.
Wins?
Oh,
Givens.
Mike Tyson's ex-wife?
Yeah, that's not what he meant to say.
Whoops. No, but anyway, so I think
Robin Ophelia Quivers.
Right. Sorry. I honestly actually make the mistake all the time. I always confuse Givens with Quivers. They're similar surnames, let's be honest.
For you. Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. But Nick Tulo is a supermark, and some would actually say he's the marketect. And so you can have critical point of views of some of what's going on in wrestling because you have Tulo there to sort of balance it out and make sure, hey, we all know that we all still love wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. You're sort of giving people a little bit of a stunt. What's that shit called when they take a big bump off a cage, but they're not Mankind, so they need like a fucking pillow that disguises a box? What's that called?
Airbag?
But is that like the jargon?
I don't think there's a term for that. It's just like a pad.
Well, we need to get a real wrestling insider on this pod for once to get the term. But that airbag, Tulo is your airbag, okay? So you're giving yourself the safety net. Me, when you do a pod with me, it's like Mankind, Mick Foley, Hell in a Cell, Undertaker. We don't want a fucking airbag. We don't need an airbag. I'm coming in with hot takes. You're coming in with hot takes. Mm. And we trust that the people are going to be able to handle it, okay? Mm. So I wasn't brought on the pod to disagree with Nick Tulo. Me and Tulo disagree all the time. It's fine. He's an ultimate mark, ultimate positivity. What I give you guys, what I offer to the listenership is the truth. I offer you guys the correct and true opinions. I offer you guys
critical thinking.
The critical thinking that only someone with a proven SAT score of 1510 can bring.
I have 400.
Out of 1600. Critical thinking on a level.
I should get to respond to this.
Critical thinking that wrestling fans can only dream of. My intellect is superior. Okay, my takes
Shabs,
are correct.
Out of time.
Moderator,
out of time.
2 minutes. I mean,
wow. I mean, you're attacking the moderator. I mean, first off, I'm not here to pit you guys against each other at all. Okay, it's not the goal. Let me just quickly lower the cage. Okay.
It's a cage of sound. It's a music cage.
Okay, so here's the deal. I mean, Tulo, did you want to respond? I feel like I have to respond. I think I was more under attack there, which is that I didn't bring you on here to fight. I brought the conversation over from the Facebook group here. So let's get into the topic. Look, and I don't have any plan here. This was just like full let's bring the convo over. You guys were talking about Bayley. That's where you guys were at. Jason, first off, for the folks, let everybody know, are you caught up with pro wrestling? You've been gone for a little bit. let the people know. Are you?
I can report honestly and truly that I'm 100% caught up on wrestling. I've watched everything worth watching. And I had to do it in record time. I was going through some personal life stuff, and I wasn't able to watch as much wrestling as I wanted to. But now I've watched more wrestling than I'd ever need to. So I'm up on every single thing. Right now, as of recording time of this pod, the only thing that I watched half-assedly was I rushed through the most recent SmackDown and really just watched the ending. But I've watched everything. Here's what I'm taking issue with, Dan.
Yeah.
You're saying, oh, you brought me and Tulo onto the pod because we had a Bayley conversation. No. No. That is not correct.
I mean,
what has happened is
we're gonna argue about the thesis of this podcast the whole time.
I'm actually pretty mad. Honestly, I'm upset that that is what the episode is being billed as, because that's not the billing. That's not the booking. The booking of this episode is, this is my triumphant return to wrestling fandom. I've taken my breather. I'm back in. And what's more, we are coming off of a draft, all right?
Yeah.
Some superstars got drafted to SmackDown. Some superstars got drafted to Raw. I, Jason Shapiro, was drafted back to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast by Dan Black. And this is what was happening. I wouldn't just join the pod if I was still unaffiliated or in the developmental territories or potentially going to a rival podcast. I've gotten offers from AEW. I've gotten offers from, you know, Between the Bells or whatever the fuck, Cody, what's his name? Graves, Corey Graves' podcast. They want me on all these pods. But Dan Black.
Between two bells?
Between two bells. Dan Black, my best friend. Yeah. Had a first round draft pick in conjunction with the WWE draft, and you drafted me to Comedians of Wrestling. I have no choice in the matter. So I'm here because I've been drafted back to the show. I didn't come in to fight with Tulo. Me and Tulo might get into an angle together. We might get some booking, but it's not. That's not what the pod is about.
All right, so you're breaking kayfabe. I got it. So here's the deal. let's just talk about the current state of professional wrestling right now, which I personally believe to be strong. I think wrestling is very fun right now. I think that they found their pandemic footing. But let's get into this Bayley thing, because Bayley was ranked PWI number one female wrestler. Tulo is very hot on Bayley right now, and Shebs is not sold on Bayley. Shebs, Tulo, I'll go to you first, because we've heard enough from Shebs already somehow. And where are you at on what are you feeling about Bayley? You think she deserved that PWI number one ranking? And or is it just because – did she just get it just because she's had the title for 500 days, so that you kind of have to give it to her? Or are you really enjoying her work?
Well, as we talked about before, the PWI rankings involve record – and wins and, you know, how successful you're doing as
a
wrestler.
Yeah, there's a high kayfabe element to the whole thing.
Right. So they're honestly in the last year, which has been the last full calendar year, Bayley's been champion. So, I mean, immediately she's the top women's wrestler just for that sole reason. If you just go across all the women's wrestlers in the industry, there's undeniably no doubting it that she's the best women's wrestler when it comes to her. When it comes to her character and who she is as a wrestler, that's where the debate could be. Well, is she 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Is she top five? Is she not even in your top five? To me personally, with the pandemic, Charlotte being out, Becky being out, with the women's division in WWE as strong as it is, if you look at the champions, I mean, it's clear Bayley's the reason why they're doing so good, in my opinion. I think she found her groove as a heel. I think she's killed it as a heel. I think her gimmick makes sense now. I think she had her
What's her gimmick exactly?
She's role model.
Because to me, I think her gimmick, I think Bayley's gimmick is, I have a different haircut now.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Whatever. I just think overall as a heel, I think she's the way. I mean, is anybody doing a better work as a heel?
Yes, every other female heel wrestler. I think I think everyone from fucking what's her name, Britt Baker, to whatever
is
that.
She
oh yes, and she's way better than Bayley as a heel. I mean, come on, get out of here.
Britt Baker's probably my number one female wrestler.
I mean,
now.
Even
she's
even
had one match in like 6 months.
So what?
She doesn't wrestle.
So what? So what? Alexa Bliss, I think, is more captivating in this fiend duo.
Oh, that's
as a heel.
No denying that. There's no denying that. Listen,
wait. Time out. So there's no denying that these people are doing better work than Bayley, and yet your thesis was that no one is doing better work than Bayley.
No, that's all right. Let's chill with the thesis words here, okay?
Oh, I'm
this
sorry.
Is not a
Look.
Thesis and my papers that I had research to do, but I'm saying there's no denying that Alexa Bliss is doing great work. I just think overall the whole entire stretch consistently Bayley has evolved and has put the WWE roster kind of on her back and put it on the map.
Let me
break it down just simply though. Like Shebs, I'll go to you right now, but I'm saying like. Bayley, has she had any great promos in the past year?
Probably nothing that stood out like memorable ones, but I mean, even to make that list, that case for a lot of people is kind of tough. I mean, there's only a handful of great promos
we're
that you're going
to
remember.
We're not trying to determine is Bayley the champion and doing pretty good as a heel compared to the absolute abysmal, you know, captivating levels, charisma levels that she's had in the past. Yes, she's better, but is she good? I don't think so. Is she champion? Sure. Are there that many other people that could be champion instead? Not really. I think the women's division has actually suffered tremendously in the pandemic with Becky being gone, with Charlotte being gone. Is she okay? Sure. Is it better than it used to be? Yeah. Is it good? I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what. Every time I see Bayley on screen, I fast forward. And when I don't and watch the segment, whether it be a match or a promo, I go, yeah, what was I thinking? What is I'm wasting my life right here. I'd rather watch almost any other segment on the show than the Bayley segment. And I go back and I watch them here and there, but it's like, it's still not good. The thing is this, Tulo, here's where you're struggling. Here's your difficulty. And here's a difficulty that I don't have is that for you, if everything is good, if, oh, this is good and this is good and this is working and that's pretty good. Oh, and that got better. And this is really good. I'm saying if everything is good, right. It's hard to tell in your brain the difference between what you really love and what you are kind of wanting yourself to love so that you could remain positive and marquee.
You didn't like any of the stuff that she did with Sasha this whole entire run? I mean, from beating the absolute shit out of her, from attacking her backstage, from now carrying the chair around, from now they're going to have a Hell in a Cell match.
That is
a good product.
It's fine. Swap out Bayley for any other like quote unquote top female wrestler, and I guarantee you it would just be a better, more fun program. Now Bayley and Sasha have this long built-in history, so there's some good booking there. Look, some moments are going to be entertaining, but like Bayley is not the reason it's working, right? The booking is why it's working. Best friends, you know, super good guy turned to the big heel, you know, now she's betraying her friend. They were, you know, pitted against each other. Like, the booking is pretty good for Bayley booking, but it's not anything groundbreaking. It's not like what, like, again, not to bring up the Alexa too much, but what The Fiend is doing, right? The Fiend is coming out there. He's giving you something you've never seen in your life that no one's ever done. That's mind-blowingly fucking awesome. And to me, that's what I'm searching for. I'm looking for A-plus wrestling. And I have very little patience for B-minus, for C-plus, for C-minus. And so something can be, out of Bayley, a C-plus or a B-minus. And that's great because for years she gave me fucking D to F. So, yeah, it's better and it's cool. But wrestling, there's so much of it and it's so tedious and it's so monotonous and it's so similar that if you're just going to give me, yeah, this is a little better, I don't care. And in fact, then I get angry when everyone else, marks like yourself and internet fuckfaces, need to celebrate shit that is just like really not worth celebrating. Like it's not cause for a parade.
I mean, she comes out and she raises the title in the top of the stage. And she's got pyro and she looks awesome.
Let me stop you right there. She doesn't look awesome. Let me tell you who looks awesome.
I just want to interrupt for 1 second and say I think she does look awesome.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
I actually think she's in great shape. I think the haircut looks really cool.
Yeah, it's a great haircut.
Back down during that contract signing was really cool, except I don't know why she's wearing like little slip-on Steve Madden shoes. I'll tell you why.
You're talking about a heel turn.
I gave Drew McIntyre that criticism as well. Wrestlers, you got to wear a shoe that looks like it's gonna hurt somebody.
You're talking about a heel turn. You're talking about someone looking awesome. You're talking about someone holding the belt and just looking like the top guy with this big character. Look at Roman Reigns. Compare Bayley to Roman Reigns. Don't compare Bayley to fucking the woman's right. Don't compare her to Lacey fucking Sinclair, whatever the goddamn fucking name is. Compare her to someone who's in her position. Bayley is a longest-running female champion. She's the top talent. You, in your words, is carrying the division on her back. Compare her to the other people doing that. That would be Roman Reigns. Is what she's doing on the level of work as what Roman Reigns is doing right now? I would say it's not even fucking close. They're not even in the same country. Okay. Like, Roman Reigns is doing A-plus, once-in-a-lifetime amazing work right now. That's what I want out of Bayley. And she's not giving me that. She's giving me, oh, I don't want to blow my fucking brains out when she's on television anymore. I guess that's good.
Can I say something about?
You
Bayley,
can't. Though? I gotta crack my drink.
All right, Chubbs has to crack his drink.
Is a fucking kombucha.
Watermelon kombucha. GT's Living Foods.
It's disgusting. All right.
Aaron was asking about.
Here's the thing: is that Tula? What flavor?
Bud Light. That
again. The lack of flavor. So listen, folks. Here's the thing about Bayley that I think is to hear what you're both saying, how I'm processing this, is that, like, I'm definitely into the Sasha Bayley story. Totally. I think it's cool. I specifically love the whole thing of Sasha can't retain a title. That's, like, great, cool wrestling writing. That's something that, like, that's what makes wrestling better than sports to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not always about winning. It's about losing makes your characters really interesting, you know? And there's, like, that hero's journey that's incredible, you know? But the thing about Bayley is that, like, I do think she looks good, and I'll believe her as being that dominant champion. The thing is that if she's going to be this kind of generic character, right? Like, she decided to be like, she was like a hugger. She had, like, kind of a bigger gimmick, and she was a kind of a mark. That was a kind of her gimmick. And then she went to, like, oh, I'm throwing that away just to be, like, a badass wrestler. I feel like she needs to have, like, way more memorable matches and, like, and better viciousness, you know, or so.
I agree, especially
with the promo. But, like, matches, like, even a move, like, even a devastating move.
So you don't like the regular level move of the belly-to-belly suplex as a finisher?
And she does a macho elbow, which doesn't really fit the character.
I mean,
either.
Also just, like, such a nonsense finisher.
Right. So it's kind of like, I feel like if they're going for the fact that, like, Bayley is a superior wrestler, like, it works with Asuka in that way. Like, I know, like, Asuka, I feel like I believe Asuka has that kind of ability in ring. Bayley has not had a moment in ring where I'm like, I believe she could beat everybody with just her pure talent.
I mean, case in point, Roman Reigns on SmackDown just submitted Braun Strowman with a guillotine choke, a move that Roman Reigns has never done before, right?
That's so all awesome. I was trying to tell you guys to watch the end because of how fucking awesome that was. And here's the best part about it. You know why? Fucking the match coming up is an I Quit match. We've never seen Roman use a submission before. So what was he going to do? Just beat him until he has to quit? No, he's going to fucking give us a guillotine right before that match. Oh, shit, Roman's got a fucking submission now that took out the biggest fucking dude in the business. You know?
Exactly. Roman's killing it.
And to Dan's point, and again, this is what separates. This is why it's easy for me as the supreme detective, as the street whisperer, as the guy who just knows what's going on. As the Kinkmaster. What I'm saying is it's this between the lines, that extra something, right? So Roman Reigns, character change, gimmick shift. Now he's got a vicious submission finisher. Bayley, same type of energy going on. Where's that vicious new finisher? Where's her submission? If she beat the shit out of Sasha and then put her in that same guillotine choke, oh my God, we would be saying a little bit more. There'd be more there.
Yeah, I mean, she put her fucking head in a fucking. She put her head in a goddamn chair. Tulo,
can you just show me?
Yeah, that was cool.
Do me the respect? Do you understand the point I'm making, though?
I 100% understand your point. Of course, I understand your point. 1,000%, Shebs, understand your point. But I think also her body of work over the course of the year, it's been consistent, evolved. She looks like a dominant champion now. When she comes out, she looks like the champ. She's proven different ways that she can stay a champ, whether it's a shit-eating contest, heel, you know, like whatever she's had to do, she's done it
right now
and evolved.
I feel like she is coasting on the power of booking, which is extremely
powerful. Here we go. Here it is. You guys are asking for a moment. This Hell in a Cell match is going to be that moment.
Oh, time out. You can't say you guys are asking for a moment. Hey, it's in a couple weeks.
I'm just saying.
Bayley's been crushing it. Let me show you some tape. I don't have any yet.
If you want something and I agree with you, if I'm agreeing with your side, I'm saying, well, this should be it. Like, this Hell in a Cell should be her memorable moment.
It should
be that match, whether she retains or whether she fucking loses.
If I know Bayley, I think it's not going to be her memorable moment because I don't think she really delivers.
Like, can we compare maybe, like, I'm thinking about Drew and Bayley for a second.
Sure.
I don't know why we're going to it. Because, like, I have to get this out there. I think Drew's title run is working.
It is working. It is working.
It is working. I don't think it's like incredible, but it is also the pandemic special. Like it is definitely like he was the champion through the whole performance center run, you know, of wrestling. So now he's in the Thunderdome at the tail end of probably his run. And so, but like he's done a lot of work to get that Claymore over, right? Like I popped for the Claymore, not like a stunner, obviously, but like
It's a big move. It's a huge, huge move. And look, and I'm not a strike finish guy per se, and that is a strike finisher that is absolutely A+ in my book.
A+.
That's a top move. I mean, look, how about that ambulance match with Randy Orton? How about the greatest wrestling? Orton's was doing so good. How about the match where he out wrestled Orton? Like. Drew McIntyre.
I have a hot thing. Because
we're going to move on.
Hold on. I'll go to go back.
I need to move back.
Give Bayley a pedigree. Is that crazy?
That'd be great. Look, you need to give her anything else, man.
With a pedigree would be like
it's a good finisher.
People, the pedigree.
It'd be great. But to do a pedigree, you need to get like knighted by Triple H. But why can't he come in and give her?
She is knighted by Triple H.
No, but I'm saying like it needs to be an on screen. He needs to like say that she's something or X or like invoke NXT and how he bequeathed her with something at NXT. He knew she'd be the girl. Whatever it is, I'm just saying I love a pedigree for her. I love any legitimate finishing move for her. She has zero of them.
I just want to focus on this before we move on to Drew because I'm saying so. Like the role model thing is nothing. It's just
Britt Baker does the same thing 20 times better on another show with a pun. Like Bayley being
the
role model
is so good.
It's an added pun. She is a better role model. She lives that gimmick better. She has that like I suck, but I'm telling you that I know it's better than you. Plus, there's also a pun of being in a wheelchair. Like it's so much. outworking Bailey that it makes Bailey look silly, and I feel silly even having a conversation on whether or not Bailey's a good wrestler right now.
I'll tell you, I can actually tell you where you're wrong in that, because if Britt Baker was doing anything that was relevant, which I think her work is great, then the AEW's women division would be good, and it's not.
I think
WWE's division is good.
I don't think WWE's women's division is good. I think WWE's women's division is in fucking shambles.
Well, women's division is good when Charlotte and Becky are there.
And Ronda.
And Ronda.
And when Nia's in the mix.
Entertaining. Asuka,
and also the NXT women's division is sick. If you brought them all up, you'd have a great...
So I want to say one thing. I mean, also, you get Bianca Belair being drafted.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
That's great.
Did you see her package this week?
She's so underutilized.
I got to tell you guys, I like Bianca Belair. I think she's a great wrestler with an enormously bright future ahead of her. I don't like her ponytail, and I get a lot of flack for that. I've even been called racist for not liking long ponytails. I'll live with that. I can absorb that.
Someone called
accusation.
You racist for not liking the ponytail?
Because they said you can't criticize a woman of color's hair. Do you know the storied history of oppression? And I was like, look, I don't want to get into it. Again, I got a 1510. I know a lot of stuff. One thing I do know is any ponytail.
I'm 1600, everyone.
Any ponytail. I mean, we're talking 99th percentile on Earth intellect. Any ponytail that is below, that is longer than 3 feet tall, whether it be on a white man or a Filipino
wrestler,
trans woman, I don't like super long ponytails. If it's segmented, even grosser. And Dan, you've known since high school, and we made a whole movie about how long ponytails are disgusting. So look, I'm just saying I don't think the hair.
I love Bianca Belair's ponytail.
That's fine.
I love the hair whip, and on that specifically, it was so fucking awesome at that Royal Rumble match when she used it to eliminate, I think, Alexa. Maybe, I don't remember. That was great.
I don't like Willow Smith, and I don't like whipping hair back and forth. Okay, here's what we need to say. This is why I invoke Bianca Belair. All right, and I want to talk about Sasha too, and I want to talk about Britt Baker. Here's the big difference. Okay. I'm going to call it swag. I'm going to call it just that the personality. When Sasha Banks walked down to that segment with Bailey, Sasha looked like 10 million dollars. She looked incredible.
I said she raised the bar. She's at five.
No, but look, you're talking about wrestling matches. Fucking put your match in your pocket. No match necessary. Sasha entered, walked out, looked like a fucking $1 million.
Five.
She looked like a complete G. She looked like a certified G and a bona fide stud. She looked gangster as hell. She looked incredible.
She's been doing that.
It was awesome. The outfit, the swagger, the confidence, the badassery. She looked sexy as hell. It worked.
It's her time.
She has something as a performer, as a presence, mm-hmm. with automatic charisma. Now, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily love where Sasha's at in general, but that moment, her just walking out and being her, mm-hmm. and fucking living in that energy is
hell
something
yeah.
that Bailey, but Bailey doesn't have that, is what I'm saying, okay? You could change her hair, and you could gussy her up, and you could make her do this and make her do that. Bianca Belair's got swag for days.
I agree.
Britt Baker's got swag. Sasha really, I turned on that TV. I saw Sasha, and I was like,
incredible.
Oh, my God. I felt something. It wasn't like I was in love.
Yeah,
but I felt like moved.
No, Sasha Banks is like, I'm not even shocked that they cast her in Mandalorian. Like, she has a great look. She has an awesome presence. Her gear is always fire.
Now I'm saying, like, that is mega. That is so important when you're talking about what a wrestler is capable of. And what I'm telling you is that Bailey really
doesn't have that.
Bailey is actually a huge, huge dork. Well, you know, she was a dork with the side pony. Now she's a dork pretending she's a tough guy. But you could tell she's like a little awkward, a little uncomfortable, a little dorky, a little out of her element, a little trying. I'm bad girl. You know, it just doesn't feel right, whether that's bad acting or just not having the charisma or the chops.
What flavor, is that?
Lime, duh. I feel like there's a clarity of Bailey's gimmick that I don't get where there's a complete clarity in what Sasha is, and I feel like she's too busy pretending to be a Eddie Guerrero mark all the time, where I'm like, yo, Sasha, you look like a mill. The legit boss gimmick is so good. Let me see you be a fucking boss. Like,
I agree. I think
she's always almost there. She has the potential to be like in my mind, like a huge crossover star. You know?
I think she might be taking that title at Hell in a Cell.
I hope so.
And I think that she really showed up on SmackDown. But again, gimmick aside, booking aside, you're talking about, hey, her boss gimmick is so defined and yet she doesn't really lean into it. I agree. But I'm putting all that shit on the back burner. I'm strictly talking about natural animal magnetism, natural charisma. You know, just that thing that just makes someone watchable and fucking cool. She just looked cool. And Bayley has never actually embodied that. Like, if you look at a still picture of Bayley, she looks cooler. When she's walking and talking and moving and being and flowing, you're like, that chick fucking
sucks.
Well,
Bayley wore that, like, Cleopatra thing, which I thought looked really cool. She just then started calling herself a role model. It's all over the place, in my opinion. But, Shebs, I do want to speak to one specific point here, and I think this is open a broader conversation.
Is it my SAT score?
It's – no. I'm done with your SAT. All right. Okay, look, here's the deal. I don't want to talk about your SAT score for – any more in my life, to be honest. Okay.
It was very high.
But here's the deal. You always talk about that animal magnetism and whatnot, and I agree with that. There are people who are Jim Carrey of wrestling, right? There are people like I bring up Jim Carrey because he's just like a walking talent machine, right? Like he can do anything, he can move anything. His body is a vessel for he could do whatever vision he has, he could do it, pull it off. He could do any voice, any impression, like he's a machine. Like a Bill Hader's like that too.
That's why I think that's a bad example, because that guy's talented. Find me someone who's not talented but a charisma machine, like a Keanu Reeves, who could do nothing, but like you still want to watch the guy.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But there are people who have that. Like Stone Cold can't do everything, but he still has a fucking presence to Stone Cold. There's a glow to him. Okay,
he has an aura.
And that's coming from me, who's watched. I've watched almost all of his shitty movies for this
undeniable
podcast,
okay? Star quality.
Yeah. To me, something I really enjoy is seeing someone who doesn't have that succeed, which is what Daniel Bryan is. Like, I think someone – there's also people who put in the work and earn it maybe from a less natural talent base. So, like, Daniel Bryan is not 6'4". He doesn't have a particularly, like, interesting look even. But even, like, AJ Styles, right? Who's like when I was 15 and he was a TNA, I was like, this guy can eat grass.
I think AJ Styles is a really great example, because AJ Styles does not have that thing, but he's probably the most successful guy he has some charisma. I'm not saying he has no charisma, but he doesn't have like Stone Cold, Rock, you know, Jim Carrey, Keanu Reeves charisma. I think Daniel Bryan might even have more like star quality charisma than AJ Styles. But think about the difference in.
I love those talents.
I love them when they are able to overcome it.
I consider Edge to be one of those talents also. Edge is a guy who I thought was a jabron for a long time, and then
I think Edge might be one of those guys. Edge is one of those guys. So that's what I'm saying. Bayley is in that pile. Right. But she ain't no motherfucking Edge, man.
Well,
and
she hasn't
no
found the rated R thing, but she's not even trying.
But that's the thing. She doesn't wrestle as good as AJ. She isn't as booked as good as Daniel Bryan, and she sure as hell hasn't fucking found her fucking groove like Edge. Edge found something where Edge tapped in so good to his like real core
being. You think you know me?
He tapped in so good that he, at times, you forget that he doesn't have it.
Edge made you forget that he was kind of like a skinny bitch. Like
Edge made you feel like, yo, I'm watching fucking The Rock right now.
Edge kept getting in trouble for juicing, and you couldn't even tell.
You just have to be like, man, you know what? Let this guy juice. I don't even want to think about what he'd look like without the juice. Be a scarecrow.
Yeah, but Edge was like the worst wrestler for so long, and then just like found it, and is now like one of the greatest.
It's not fair to say he's one of the worst wrestlers. He was just a guy that had to work really, really hard to get over.
He's a classic brass ring grabber.
Right, he's a brass ring grabber. He's a worker. I mean, he is very similar to what Bayley is. But the thing is, look, Bayley's been in the game long enough, and she's been given the opportunities. I just don't think she has. See, Edge was a smart enough performer to find where he needed to go.
I agree. I think the bar is low right now. I think that's what Tulo. I think that's kind of what your beef is with Tulo ultimately. Not that you have any beef, but
yes, my beef with Tulo is that The bar
is
low.
It's not your fault, though, because like someone posted a picture that I saw the day. It was the SmackDown. It was a picture of the SmackDown main event, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was the main event of a random SmackDown, and it was Rock, Stone Cold, Taker, Kane, Rikishi, and Kurt yeah. Angle, okay? And Triple H as the special guest referee. Woo! That was what SmackDowns were. Like, right now, wrestling, they don't, that level of star quality, it just doesn't even fucking exist.
I would say that this SmackDown roster is kind of spicy, though. When you got Roman, Seth,
yeah,
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, you got some Street Profits, you got like a spicy little Rofit.
There's a lot to love.
Seth is so good.
There's a lot to love.
Oh, man. Ray and Dominic.
Dominic, by the way, is already one of Tulo's guys.
I mean, I'm not even going to talk about Dominic right now. I mean, I'm not going to talk about
Dominic. What are you talking about? The guy's fucking incredible.
Okay.
Dude, all right. Shabiro.
Tulo, let me tell you.
Do you remember the fucking ass beating that this talking, guy here. Took? Do you remember the fucking ass beating that this guy took from Brock Lesnar?
I have a serious question.
Do you remember the ass beating that this guy took from Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
In your wildest years, you can never even imagine what that must be like to just be like, all right, my first bumps as a professional wrestler, I'm going to Suplex City. Can you imagine that?
Dominic does have this chance to be like a Shane type.
There is something cool about Dominic Mysterio. Okay, I like
at SummerSlam against
buddy,
Seth Rollins.
I gave you the courtesy.
You barely gave me. You've been talking for a half hour. I said four words. I can't even fucking mark out for Dominic Mysterio without being shunned to the fucking. I mean, the guy is incredible.
Let the man mark out for Dominic Mysterio.
I said the same thing about Bianca Belair.
Do you want to make Aaliyah Mysterio one of your guys quick while you're at it?
No. She needs a little bit more work. But.
I like Aaliyah Mysterio better than Rey Mysterio, and definitely better than Dominic Mysterio. I really like it. I think Aaliyah Mysterio.
See Dominic and Rey got drafted together.
Yeah, they were so excited.
Dude, they could. Whoever's pulling this, they could. They could, so the drafters stupid. Could throw in Big E to come with a New Day, but they were able to rig it so that a singles wrestler could bring his kid with him.
You get drafted with your dad. It's like Obamacare. Like he's under 26. You can still get drafted with your father.
Made no sense.
He's still claiming him on his tax return. That means you can be drafted together.
Look, Dominic Mysterio, there's a lot to respect there. I mean, there's a lot, look, the easy cynical take is like,
going right into Dominic?
The easy cynical take is, look, he's not actually that good of a wrestler. He wouldn't be anywhere near – he wouldn't even be sniffing this company if his father wasn't Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Like, we know all that. I don't need to knock him for that, okay? The fact is he's showing up. He's taking his fucking bumps.
You can watch Seth walk him through those matches also. There's, like, times where you see Seth is just like, yo, go for that. What did he say? He's like, frog splash,
like, buddy. Frog splash, buddy.
You can see him, like, he has to, like –
come on, buddy. What to do.
He's like, frog splash, buddy. Go for it, man. Look, you got it.
He barely knows how to wrestle.
I think Rey Mysterio has worked hard enough for this business where the business can kind of give him, you know, subsidized education for his son, right? He get like free tuition. You know, he's like a legacy. It's like, look, I want to create something for my kid. And the business is happy to be like, look, we will hold this fucker's hand through his matches. We will put him with Brock Lesnar, arguably the toppest guy. You know, like we will give you whatever you want, Rey, because Rey Mysterio is a guy who – you know, he gave his life to the business for sure. So I'm all for it. But let's call a spade a spade. It's not like the kid is like good. I'm not like, hey, great, this guy's here. I mean, he's just some fucking guy.
The storytelling's been really good, and Dominic's clearly giving it his all, and you feel that passion. He's doing a good job.
Yeah. Now, but look, here's the deal. I don't see a lot of stuff that I'm into out of him. Like I certainly don't see a lot of, and look, he's super young, so obviously it's going to be developed. I have a lot of faith because, you know, he's going to be starting so young at this level. Like, I'm sure good things might happen for him. But, you know, there's no stick.
He'll definitely disappear for a year, come back huge. Right.
Well, he's got to put some size on. But that's when you're coming out of high school, like when you're that age.
He's 23. You know, he's not that young. I'm just saying, but
if you look at, like, he's not 18, you know, Kevin Garnett in his first few years of the NBA versus the end, it's like you're going to come in a little bit underweight. That's fine.
That's true. Anything's possible.
He definitely needs to put on some size. He needs to, you know, I would like to see a little bit more mic work out of the guy that's not fucking cringeworthy. However, him and Aaliyah both are able to really dial up the tears. They could really get emotional. Mm-hmm. And I got to give him credit there for a little bit of acting work. I like watching those two fight.
Are you willing to make Aaliyah Mysterio one of your guys?
Absolutely. Okay. Aaliyah Mysterio, one of my guys. Buddy Murphy, by the way, what a kayfabe, lights out, shooters list this guy has. He's taking down Aaliyah Mysterio, a 19-year-old, coming off of being engaged to Alexa Bliss. This guy is a legend.
I mean, all right, well, okay.
Why don't you shut up, Steve?
Okay, so.
What?
I want to ask you guys something. Where are you guys at? I'm going to pivot to somewhere else, but just for time. Where are you guys at on Goldberg coming back? Like, whenever Goldberg comes up, do you – I think there's so much hate on the internet for Goldberg coming back, and I'm always like, yeah.
I will say something. Yes,
Goldberg's back. Like, I'm the guy everyone hates where I'm just like, it's fucking Goldberg.
I think this COVID era wrestling now with the Thunderdome and everything going on, I think it's anything is possible. I think if there was ever a time for Goldberg to succeed, it's now, you know, for some reason. I just thought of it today, just with how everything's being shot and how there's no pressure because it's really not really even fucking in front of a crowd. You're starting to see like better storytelling. And I feel like they could find something good for Goldberg now, which was always just felt like stupid and dumb when he came back.
Well, but he's not going to be like getting involved in storyline, or he's just sort of like popping in for a little Goldberg stint.
I didn't see him.
I didn't see what did he do?
I don't think he even did anything.
I thought, but I'm saying, you know, when Goldberg
didn't
comes,
he was coming back for the premiere. I saw the final match of SmackDown,
something backstage or something. I don't know.
It's like, dude, when Goldberg comes back, though, it's like for 6 weeks tops. You know, like, and that's just cool. Right. That I mean, ask me Dan, what I think of Goldberg again.
What do you think of Goldberg?
Autographed Goldberg belts, bro.
Toy belts.
Oh, okay. So that's what you think of him? You think about that you have his autograph.
Jewish icon. One of the most jacked Jewish people of all time. No, here's what I think about Goldberg.
I think Roman should beat the shit out of him. That's what I think.
Yeah, sure.
He's
why not?
Come
look,
back
yeah, I mean,
he's
I don't think they were supposed to wrestle Mania, you know?
I don't think.
Tattoo over his tribal this fucking will be, tattoo.
Listen, Goldberg versus Reigns now. Now I'm interested in it.
Sure.
This version of Reigns versus Goldberg is way more interesting than Superman Reigns.
Two immunocompromised dudes fighting it out in the corona pandemic. I love
Why
it.
Is
one
Goldberg
guy
immunocompromised for being just Jewish.
No, for being 50? Old. And a guy who's over 65 and a guy who survived getting luked up a couple times. Like, this is the battle of the corona. All right, look, here's what I got to say about Goldberg coming back. God.
You
okay?
Just slip in these lines. Yeah, okay.
You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall. All right. When I watch Goldberg, it reminds me now, I'm going to be a little bit biased. I love Goldberg. I think it's one of the best booking of all time, his WCW run. I think he's a legend. He was just cool. It was cool to just demolish motherfuckers, right? That was cool. And then be named Goldberg while doing it. It's such a mind fuck. I love it. Here's the thing. When I was in my heyday of wrestling, all right, which is like Attitude Era, Ric Flair was still around. And it was like, I was like, fuck this guy. I didn't really love him in 1992. I certainly wasn't around in the 80s and 70s watching, you know. And he was there ruining motherfucking star pushes in WCW. Him and Hogan were booking themselves to the moon. They were keeping their boot on Jericho's neck and all these younger guys. Like, WCW sucks because all these old guys just held everyone back. And Flair's in the store and his matches suck. And he's like in his 50s and 60s. You're like, Jesus, this is garbage. And then when he was in WWE later, it was like, enough already. Like, Evolution, it's garbage. I hated seeing him. I just didn't get him. I was like, this is over. Enough of this guy. But then he just kept sticking around for so much longer, still wrestling, that I was like, yo, whoa. Like, what? This is still happening? The guy's like, I just became flat out impressed. I just stopped being angry about, like, how it doesn't really make sense. And I just started being like, you know what? This is actually kind of fucking awesome. Like, who on earth can do this except for this fucking guy? Yeah. Who's just not going down without a fight like this guy? And then when he had, look, when you're talking about the
Goldberg,
Flair, well,
Brock run was, oh, you're talking about Flair, sorry.
I'm talking about Flair. So I'm just saying that, like, he just wouldn't go away despite it being a little bit too late for that shit, and then just kept going and kept going and kept going until I just had to respect it. right? And I feel like that's maybe where we're going with Goldberg. It seems like his guy is like, he's a little bit too old to be like the guy who beats the Fiend. You know, like he's a little bit too old to like beat Lesnar.
That was insane.
Right. It's insane. But they keep doing it. And so at this point, I'm like, you know what, motherfucker? They just keep doing it. Like, in 10 years, I want this guy jackhammering like John Cena's son. You know, like, I want this guy to show up no matter what age at any moment in time and just take the world title off an otherwise undefeated guy again. And I'll just be like, you know what, bro? I'm with it. It's fucking great. It is what it is.
You know they did that twice? They did that Kevin Owens. Remember Kevin Owens? They just threw the Universal title on Goldberg. He took him out. And then he did it to Fiend also. Like, they just – Goldberg pops in and wins the title out of nowhere.
Lesnar! He did it to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but he didn't beat the title. Take the title.
Yo, you know what?
They threw the title on him last minute just for Mania two times.
Yeah.
But the Lesnar-Goldberg match was one of the best things they ever did. That was so fucking awesome. And then their Mania match was a blast.
It was awesome. I love that match. That was all killer, no filler. That was like a quadruple stuffed Oreo.
4 minutes long. It was awesome.
I call that match a quadruple stuffed Oreo. It's just cream, cream, cream. Spear, jackhammer, F5, F5. It's just boom, boppy, bop, bop. It's awesome.
Yeah, Goldberg, I think he went for a spear and Brock jumped over him. Remember that? That was
awesome,
a good time.
Awesome, baby, yeah.
Whatchamacallit?
When's Brock Bailey going to bring
you
out matches
talk
like
AEW
that?
You guys want to talk AEW for a little bit?
No, hold on one second.
I would love to.
Shit, I was going to say something. Where would we be if COVID didn't happen, and would Roman would have been in Goldberg, and we probably would have never gotten this version of Roman Reigns.
That's a great call, because it got us to this point. This version of Roman Reigns was a long time coming. It was always in their back pocket because everyone, it was always
pushed. This is like his Hollywood Hogan, right?
Right. Well, yes, but it was always being pushed as his babyface heel, even though it didn't make sense. He didn't feel like, I mean, babyface face. He didn't feel like a natural face. Mm-hmm. Anytime he would kind of be heely, it would like feel so much better. We always knew it was coming. And in fact, I want one of the marks who listen to this podcast to go back and find, because I know for a fact me and Dan talked. Obviously, Dan has talked at length about Roman taking off the vest. But I know on this pod, we came to the conclusion, I believe it was me who did so, that Roman Reigns, when he finally makes that heel turn, that's when they're finally going to take the vest off of him. Because mm-hmm. that's just such a clean character shift. And then when he inevitably turns into a face again, they'll just throw that fucking vest right back on. And they'll be like, oh yeah, everyone's going to pop like crazy because he's a good guy again. Right. So this is such an obvious, inevitable character shift that had to happen because everybody in the world wanted it. We all wanted to see heel Roman, and all the kids who used to cheer for him and loved him. Now they're all teenagers. So they're ready for a heel Roman.
And just think about, I was saying it to Dan, I was like, just think about where they can go with this. They can go with this in 1 million directions. It's insane how awesome they can make this, like now with him. They can bring back anybody that they want. They can tell any story that they want. This version of Roman is probably
the most successful thing of my catch up to wrestling. And again, obvious as it may be, inevitable as it may be, but necessary is the Roman heel turn. We all wanted it, and it's been delivering. It's been phenomenal.
You know what I want to see so bad? I was thinking about. I want to see Roman Orton. Not one goes babyface. I mean, like
no,
both
no,
of
no.
them just
heel
like,
versus heel. Yeah, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The problem
that's mania, bro. That's wall, mania. Orton Reigns.
Orton, absolutely. The wall that we've hit here, Dan. We talked about it in part one of our unlimited parts RKO analysis sub-saga. Yeah. The problem they hit with Orton is like he's a 13-time champ. Triple H is 14, and then you got 16. You got Cena and Flair. There's only so many more runs they could even let this guy have because he's not even old yet. He'll be around for another 15 years. So it's like. All these angles, it's like, I think the work he's doing now, he should take the belt off of Drew McIntyre. They're not going to let him because they don't have the Randy Orton runway for that. Like, because at this rate, he'll be champ 5 more times. He doesn't deserve to have it more than Cena or Flair. So it's tough. But I want to talk Roman Reigns because I got a little bit of dream booking for you on Roman Reigns.
Mm.
We all love everything going on with Roman Reigns. The one thing that we mentioned feels a little weird to me is this: how he keeps saying he's the tribal chief, he's the tribal chief. It works. I like it. It just feels slightly like ethnicized. Like it seems a little bit not.
Once you say, if you say tribal chief three times in two paragraphs, it's odd.
It seems a little bit too much that they're shoving that down.
Hey, I'm the tribal chief.
And like, it sounds a little goofy almost because it sounds like you know, cartoonishly, like in like Looney Tunes cartoons when they show like a jungle kind of thing.
Yeah, like
it's a little bit, bump for me, but not too much. I still think it's right. So they need to earn the tribal chief. And what I want for him more than anything, what I've always wanted for him, what I've been wanting for him since when he was the most annoying guy in my life 5 years ago or 6 years ago, is heel stable. Get the Usos as his enforcers. Call that stable the tribe or the tribal council or whatever, the Samoan tribe, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Now calling him the tribal chief doesn't feel so weird.
Give him the face paint back too.
He doesn't need the face paint because let me tell you
something. No, give Usos? The Usos the face
absolutely,
paint.
Absolutely, absolutely. But let me tell you something. Roman Reigns, I've seen a lot of Samoans wrestle shirtless, baby. I've seen a lot of Samoans out there. Roman Reigns has got the best tribal tats in the Samoan ecosystem, in probably all of Earth.
Really great work on it.
They gave him the setup he deserved. You know when people get tattoos and you're like, that's this not the setup he deserves. I mean, you know who comes to mind? Unfortunately, it breaks my heart every time. But Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, when he overdid the Brahma Bull with that sort of like high detail bull skull, it's just that's not the ink he deserves. You know, a lot of guys get ink that just doesn't.
That tattoo is awful.
It's awful, let's be honest. But Roman Reigns' work, that is the caliber of work that he has earned and he deserves, and it looks great on him.
Yeah.
I love seeing his body, and I love seeing his ink.
I think those Samoan tattoos are the best-looking tattoos.
Well, I'll tell you what. They look extra good.
What culture has better tattoos?
They look really good on someone who's actually Samoan or Polynesian. Like, it's a little bit wacky when it's like, what's up, it's Meek.
People have pictures of white guys with those
absolutely like hey tattoos. Like Chad and Kyle found themselves in between, like before they went to law school and they traveled to like you know American Samoa and they just decided to get like the hand banged, you know, the wood thing with the hammer. I think Angelina Jolie got some tattoos done that way too, and they're just like, yeah, you know, I just really connected.
Did you find yourself cheering for
I think her tattoos look cool actually, but I don't know what
Jey Uso when he actually like got at Roman there with the fucking slap and then the super kick.
I mean, it was
I was like, come on, Us. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, whoa.
I think it's good. I mean, I'm surprised that Jey Uso can carry this thing, but it's just the booking and the writing is just too sweet to be sour. Like, it's unknockable. Like, he could be doing a way worse job than he's doing, and it would so still good. Be amazing, but he's doing a really good job. Well, I gotta give him credit.
If you think about it, though, it's all real. It's kind of
for sure.
Like,
for sure. All,
he's the twin. He's the younger, you know, the other the other cousin, you know, like, it's just all is actual kind of real shit.
Absolutely. That, like, absolutely.
Can easily be real. So when it's relatable and it's kind of, you can be like, oh, this is kind of how it could really be. It's too good.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's perfect work shoot, right? Like, it's like,
right.
Like you always want to walk away from wrestling. You know, it's script. It's the kind of, I always say this, it's what's really difficult to explain to people about what's so much better about wrestling than other shows is like that work shoot element of like, you believe there's a chance they actually feel that way. Like, you actually, you believe it. And like a guy like Randy is always a guy I point out because like, you do kind of believe he has this ego where he kind of would want to beat up these legends. Like, it's kind of believable that he would do that.
It is so not crazy to me how much Randy Orton is maybe my favorite wrestler of all time. I fucking love Randy Orton. I love
what
this guy.
What would you, if you had to give your list, Chad, your top five wrestlers of all time, not Mount Rushmore, nothing, just so, your guys.
Well,
like,
look.
Like, I always say,
Rock,
like, I love Goldberg so much,
right.
But I know that he's nowhere near the top 50 best wrestlers.
Were you talking about, like, my favorites? Or just who I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who are you like?
I mean, look, the problem is like The Rock is just has the top spot forever and always. Like, I've been down since day one with that motherfucker. Right. The Rock is the best, right? The Rock.
Same
is
way I'm down with Dominic Mysterio, you know? Gotta get
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we could talk in 30 years to see if your guy is the fucking president, but The Rock certainly will be.
But probably my best, my number one favorite wrestler of all time, if I just be honest, is. Yeah. Probably Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, why not?
It's just
why
like not? When I was a kid, I the way I looked at Ultimate Warrior, I was like, he's the best. He was so fucking cool.
Sure.
And yeah. There's nothing I could do about that.
No, and you shouldn't. And that's the beauty of wrestling.
Shawn Michaels was that for me when I was a kid. I just felt like he was the coolest fucking human being ever.
As a kid, I liked Shawn as an adult. As a kid, I didn't get it.
I could never vibe.
He was too small.
He was too small. Well, you liked those big 80s, 90s powerhouses.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I love the huge
But
wrestlers.
I've got my own issues with Sean. We don't need to get into it, but he's obviously a legend and an incredible performer. We love Sean, but not me. I don't love him. But we got The Rock, absolutely. Randy Orton could be number two or three. I mean, Scott
Hall.
So Rock
one.
Rock one.
Scott Hall.
Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, probably my number two. I famously loved him so much as a kid because he was the only wrestler with chest hair like my family. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's like me because he's got a chest hair.
You also pretended to be Cuban, right, your family?
Yo, yeah, we did that. 100% we did that. That's what we did because we had to hide our ethnicity because they were – what happened is exported or they dispelled all the Jewish people from – Iraq at some point in Spain, and so we went to Cuba.
It's fine. You don't need to ESN that bit.
All we right, are so, Cubans.
So Razor Ramon, number two,
Razor Ramon,
number three.
Razor Ramon, Scott Hall combo.
Razor Ramon, number two. And number three is probably Orton for you.
Well, I got Cody in there. Cody is a big guy for me. Dusty is a big guy for me, and Cody's a big guy for me. And I can't deny my love of Jericho either. Jericho is just so supreme. So supreme. But let's just call the five Rock, Orton, Razor Ramon, and Jericho and Cody.
Okay. You can, by the way, you can change it, so it's fine. Tulo, if you had to give your five, what would your five be?
Probably Rock, Stone Cold, HBK. I loved Razor Ramon as a kid. So Razor Ramon.
Hard not to.
Is that five?
I mean, such a cool guy. You're talking about like a guy who just is fucking cool. That's Scott Hall. That's Razor Ramon.
I think that for me, I think it's got to be – I think I have to follow a little bit of the WWE draft rules.
Right.
And I have to go like if I'm fully honest and you're talking about my full mark dome.
Right.
It's probably like one Ultimate Warrior.
Sure.
Two Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Three Stone Cold.
Why not?
Four, just DX.
Yeah, it's so
like,
true.
You can't deny like how important DX was so
DX
important
was huge.
To me.
DX was huge. But the problem that I say with DX, though, out of everything that I loved about wrestling, the one thing I know doesn't hold up is DX sucks. DX absolutely fucking sucks.
Because I wish I could say it was – I would love to say it was NWO or like Hollywood Hogan, but I was so much more into DX, I just be honest.
Yeah,
Well, we actually – Dan, you and me, we weren't actually actively watching wrestling when NWO first popped. Like we like just dipped out and then dipped back.
Right.
After the waves of NWO happened and everyone's like – kind of like with Bullet Club where no one knew what the fuck was going on in NJBW except for like the biggest marks.
Right.
Except for me. And then obviously when Bullet Club happened, about like 6 months in, we started catching wind of it. Famously on this podcast, obviously I'm the first guy that any of you know who bought a Bullet Club t-shirt, even though I've never seen a match of theirs. But I was like, something's going on over there, and I won in.
Mm. You bought that Bullet Club shirt so early. That was...
Yeah, because I knew the guys. I mean, these aren't nicknames. I am the Street Whisperer. You think they don't have streets in Tokyo? How do you think you get to the Tokyo Dome? You got to drive your space car on a street.
Dude, I've actually been to the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, and did you notice all the streets around them?
I did, yeah.
And
did you, whispering.
Did you have your ear to the fucking streets like I do?
I should have. I fucked that up.
But you don't, and I do. So that's the thing. NWO, like we caught that something was going on. We were like, yo, something's going on over there. It's NWO. Like the way I caught Bullet Club, we as like residual wrestling fans sensed that there was the NWO happening. Like, we got to figure out what's going on here in wrestling. And then Stone Cold was happening on the other side. And then we're like, we got to get back in there.
Right.
And then we just all jumped back in. And I was lucky that I happened to jump back in right when The Rock was showing up.
Who's I didn't get my number five, but it might be
Orton.
Time.
I love it. I love it
over time. Like if you just think about the amount of years that I've enjoyed the guy's work, but I don't know. I don't know if you know. I'd have to think about it more. But like I like Orton way more than I liked like Undertaker.
Well, but
that's you know, like,
yeah. But that's the thing for me. The tough ones are like the guys I listed, particularly like Jericho. Because Jericho, like I just haven't my respect for him just keeps growing. But it's like. Really, like, heart of hearts, guys I truly love. Like, Undertaker was one of my favorite wrestlers as a kid. Like, I loved him. Mankind, Mick Foley, I absolutely love. Like, I love him. I love him.
Yeah. But I think Seth, by the end of his career, will be in my top five favorite wrestlers.
Why not?
Just from 31 on.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Messiah gimmick he's doing, I wish they would give him better music, but, like, making his song a little... less first drafty and just Bailey's song. But
I legit thought Bailey was coming out this week.
They have the same exact song.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Who was it? Oh, Jeff Hardy or whatever it was. I was like, why is Bailey coming out? Or whatever the scenario was. I was like,
why can't Seth Rollins get this guy's? Have his old fucking music and just still be called the Monday Night Messiah?
I don't know.
Like, or why can't he do, like, a Fiend remake of his old music that has, like, a little bit of a different vibe, but it's the same thing?
I agree, I would take out the Burn It Down, because Burn It Down was, like, kind of a representative of his old thing he was doing.
I gotta be honest, I prefer Burn It Down Seth Rollins to Monday Night Messiah, although, I appreciate the fun of it. I like Burn It Down Seth better.
How fun
was it to scream Burn It Down?
The best version of Screaming Burn It Down... is one of the cool. It's one of the most fun things.
Man,
when you're there alive, you scream it fucking loud.
Well,
got fucking shitty though after he beat Lesnar at Mania. That's when it started to die down on him. But leading up to that part, it was fucking loud as shit, man. Money in the Bank and all that stuff.
But the thing with Seth is the Messiah gimmick, I really think that if he was in front of a crowd, I think he's one of the guys hurt the most by the pandemic. I think this would be going super well. I think he'd be getting so much heel heat.
But I agree.
So I think he's one example of a guy who's being hurt by the pandemic and is doing actually like top level work. Especially, I'm always impressed by guys who are doing great work who are not in title pictures. You know?
Yeah.
Like Miz is a great example of this, except for like this is the worst kind of Miz zone. They just put him in like the Otis goof zone.
Right.
Like, it's such a waste of his talents.
Right.
I like Nazi Miz. You know what I mean? But, So I'm saying I think Seth's doing great work, but yes, like Architect Seth is the best, and I'm not even sure we needed this Messiah thing as much as like it's fun, it's cool, but it's a little high concept. I do think it works, and I like it. I'm glad he did it, but like I hope he settles into just being like Architect Seth for a longer period of time.
Well, they're never gonna not call him the Architect, right? Like that's a nickname that's like always gonna follow him, so he could always just dip back to that.
Right.
You know what Seth is really? What we really need out of Seth? It's like a nice chunk of paternity leave. And then he just dips out and comes back.
That's
going
to happen.
Like,
that's why he's not in title pictures or anything.
That's what I'm saying. So I think he's earned, you know, he's a guy who's earned the right to kind of take off a little bit. So I think that you give us a little bit of time away to really miss him. By the way, I mean, Seth and Roman feud stuff could be so incredible. Like, you know.
I'm thinking next SummerSlam for that now.
Okay.
Seth Roman is going to be sick. That Seth Roman will be that'll be fantastic.
Can you imagine if Seth wins the Rumble this year?
Talk about like when Becky comes back, how big that's gonna be.
Yeah,
it's gonna be huge.
It's gonna be huge.
I hope they put in like motherhood into part of her gimmick. Like she's like, I'm one bad mother or something like that.
Yeah, Mother Lasser.
Totally well. I think her being a mom is totally gonna fit perfectly into her.
I also like, you know, I think that it's important to note that like you could be a fucking ass kicker and also be someone's mom.
A
I think it'd be
kicker?
Good for mom. You could be a last
kicker. She's a last kicker.
But it'd be great if she like comes out and like washes people's mouth out with soap for like, hey, you don't use dirty words.
This song is so bad.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
It gets even worse.
Yikes. Is this,
All right. Anything else you guys wanted to make sure we hit on this episode?
Yes, I think we want to on this episode. We didn't even get to AEW. We got to get into a couple things about WWE. I'm gonna run through. In my return,
this is my favorite part about when Chev's runs through all his things that he wants to talk about.
I gotta run through a couple things. I've been gone. I got drafted. Okay, I haven't been here. I was a surprise draft pick back to the Comedians of Wrestling. Okay, Dan Black specifically drafted me in conjunction with the Raw and SmackDown draft. Okay, that's why I'm here. So my return to wrestling, I've got a lot to catch up on. I had to catch up. I'm back. I'm in. I'll just give you a quick lay of the land. The Fiend. Doing incredible work. So some of the most exciting stuff happening is The Fiend. I'm just talking about WWE. It's The Fiend.
Great.
I think Alexa with The Fiend is just, it's cool. It works. I'm excited. I don't know what's going on, but I'm into it. I think Drew McIntyre is holding it down. He's doing solid work. Randy Orton, of course, is fucking shooting the goddamn lights out. There was a poker game with a bunch of legends after they all teamed up on Randy Orton that obviously made no sense. It was wrestling poker logic where the cooler of the guy you are, the more fantastical your hand is. Ric Flair just got dealt a royal flush. In five stud poker. That means they just give you five cards. That's it. Five up, five down. Spades, baby. So there's been some weird shit, but obviously I think Orton's been doing fantastic. I loved Night Vision Orton. That's when Orton comes back with night vision goggles, dressed like a janitor.
Custodian, yeah.
There was no reason for him to be a janitor, by the way.
Dude, who was the one who threw a can at him, like in some other promo? Like there was some guy just threw something down the hall at the janitor, and you just knew that janitor is like, that's something. Something's going on over there.
But why did he need to be a janitor? He's allowed in the building.
No, because he told everyone he left. He was like, look, I'm leaving for the day. Look, I'd love to sit here and challenge Drew McIntyre, but I've got things that I got to do. So, yeah, I'm going to go.
I still loved it. I think it was great.
It was incredible.
Flicking off the lights and pulling a fucking silence in the lamps.
Oh, it was incredible. Night Vision Orton is the fucking shit. Loved it. Fiend's crushing. Alexa's crushing. Orton's crushing. All the usual suspects. Bailey's shit in the goddamn bed. Roman is probably, while not my favorite stuff going on, like I think the Fiend is a little bit more exciting to me. Roman is definitely doing the most important and like it is the best stuff. Like what Roman's doing is the best thing. It had to happen. It's going great. And the only weird thing is he seems to have gotten some veneers. I don't know if we've talked about that.
We've talked about it at length. Maybe
I don't
say too much talking about it.
I've got no problem with them. It's fine. I'm just curious.
I'm used to
why.
Them already. They look fine.
The debut of them the first night was like they were insane.
It was a little jarring, but now
they were fresh. But the thing is, his teeth were good.
He
before.
Got the best guy in Florida to do his teeth.
That's but wasn't his teeth already good? Like he didn't have weird teeth to me. I just thought they looked.
He's trying to do movies and shit. You know what I mean? So I think he's just trying to get perfect.
Yeah, but that's like. That's the wrong way to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't need to do that, pal. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Heath Slater is obviously gone. That's a shame.
You want to talk about AEW?
No. I also got to say something. This Jinder Mahal, is where's he at? You said he's injured and he's getting jacked.
He was injured, but then he's. I saw him working out on Instagram.
But is he still under contract with WWE or did they cut him?
Yeah. He's still.
I was hoping that he was going to be a surprise entrance to the draft, and they were going to call it a Jinder reveal party. That's when he goes off. That's when Jinder, because Jinder does this every once in a while. Jinder, nothing special.
That's really funny.
But Jinder, sometimes he'll disappear. Jinder Mahal sometimes disappears, and then he just gets jacked out of his motherfucking mind.
He got last year. He got drafted. He wasn't even back. He was just like, "Oh, Jinder got drafted."
Exactly.
Everybody's like, "But, what?"
And he gets drafted because he's so goddamn jacked. And then when he comes back, and you get that first look at him with like that extra 20 pounds of muscle, that's the Jinder reveal. So his gimmick should be that he has the Jinder reveal party.
Jinder reveal party is so funny.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And he comes out like pink and blue tights, like split screen, and you don't know which one you're gonna get. And then he just comes, nails it.
All right, great.
That's my pitch for Jinder.
I love that.
Okay. What else is going on in WWE that we need to touch? Keith Lee looks to me and sounds to me like Uncle Phil. I think he's soft as fuck. I think he's a great in-ring performer, and that's where it ends. I am almost vomited when they let him beat Randy Orton twice. I thought it was ridiculous. He's got a lot of work to do. I understand why he's lovable and good, but if you hear this guy cut a promo and you don't want to jam a fork into your ear, then you must have it on mute.
His promos are stiff. His promos are
he
a little
sounds
stiff.
Like when Uncle Phil was lecturing Will Smith about why you don't need to, you know, pretend you have you drive a fancy car to impress a girl at school. It was always it's bad, man. He has no.
Why doesn't he love me, man?
He's got nothing to offer on the microphone. It is awkward and strange and silly, and he looks like a teddy bear. He legitimately looks like someone.
I love deep fake
face swapped Uncle Phil onto like a big strong wrestler.
Okay. I think my beef with whatever, we talked a lot about Keith Lee. Do you want to get to AEW before we bounce?
The Legion or is stupid. His outfits are disgusting. He looks like a fool always. He's packaged impossibly. He has thinning hair all over his head, like how Arlen had after college. Like, it looks like a baby. It's not good hair. He needs to shave it. There's nothing. That guy's going to fizzle the fuck out so hard. That guy's so impressive in ring and has got literally nothing else to offer. That is exactly what happened with Ricochet, and it breaks my heart. It broke my heart with Ricochet. It's going to break all your hearts with Keith Lee, but I don't get broken twice. You fool me once, shame on me. Fool me, you can't get fooled again, okay?
that's what Bush said, right?
Yeah, that's a George Bush quote.
Fool me once, shame on me.
All right. But I say we save AEW for another. We do another.
Don't say we save AEW for another week. I have a couple things I got to say about AEW real quick. Okay. I just need to tell you
that. All right. Well, let's pause quick.
Why?
I got to pause quick.
Why?
Because I have to pee.
Well, then say, oh, I have to pee.
I got to take a pee break, but I want to be involved in the AEW comment.
How long has this episode been so far?
I don't know. It's fine. I can edit this.
I'll make it quick.
All right. Quick pee break.
Go, pee-pee. Yeah, I got pee. What do you got to do?
Yo, last time he did this, he came back early and was talking shit about me before we went back. Yeah. So he does this thing where he, like, talks shit about me, like, when I'm not paying attention. So like,
pee?
Yeah, we went to go take piss breaks, and he got back before me, and he was like, yeah, I'm just I'm just gonna, like, yeah, no, Tool is completely wrong about all that shit.
Oh, to the pod, like, he just, like, yeah, gets extra words in without you defend yourself.
And then, like, I wouldn't watch it because I really liked our last episode, so I like to rewatch it to see how it looks on YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
And
it's dishonorable. It's a dishonorable move by him.
But you saw what he did with us. Like, he was trying to start things between us. He's a shit stirrer, man. he's always talking all this trash about me. And saying, like, how I'm like, I don't care, and this and that.
Well, look, Tulo, I think he loves you. I think I love you. We all love you.
Talks a lot of shit, man.
You are the Marketech. You have to understand, in our friend group, we have Arlen in there. We have some of the most negative people. Like, our language of love is busting balls and talking shit and being like, you're fucking crazy.
But it's
you're
like he forgets that I have the briefcase, too, you know? So it's like,
woo, that's something to be said.
You know what he said about me the other day? He goes, yeah, I got to be honest with you, bro. Well, you know, if you were to cash in on me, yeah, gotta be honest, bro. Wouldn't end well for you, you know.
Okay.
He's like, goes like this. He goes, I'm feeling pretty jacked.
Well, you know, he has been.
Like,
he put
kind
on
of foreign object.
He definitely put on 14 pounds of muscle.
Look
like Cody.
Flex. Look at these men. Look at this. I don't even know what this is right here.
Yeah. Dan's put on some muscle, man. You gotta be careful. I almost forgot you because before the pandemic, I mean, things were popping. It was gonna be Calmania 2. Like, we had there was a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors and innuendo around, man, what were you going to do with the briefcase. There was a lot going on. I mean, with Hassan getting injured, things were going crazy before Calmania. Some actually think that Letterman is behind the whole corona pandemic as a way to sort of put off Calmania too.
Wow, I couldn't agree more, actually.
I don't know, it's a conspiracy theory, you know. It's a QAnon.
I like to talk to Letterman. You got to talk to Letterman every once in a while and just, like, pick his brain and see where he's at, you know.
With the matches, I mean, everything cooled down. Look, things, tensions ran a little bit high, obviously. Once the pandemic happened, like, everything got neutralized.
That title is a crazy title, man. It makes you do crazy shit.
Right, but then once, you know, you know, your life is in jeopardy and the whole fate of the human, you know, you're like, hey, look, people are dying. There's some things bigger than just a little gold belt, you know? Like,
I mean,
we're
I'll
all
fly
friends
to California.
Here, and, you know, there's wildfires going on. There's all sorts of, you know, civil unrest going on in this country. There's all sorts of, you know, crazy election coming up. There's a virus killing hundreds of thousands of people. I think everyone just said, you know what, let's not worry about the belt.
It would be pretty cool, though, like, through all that, though, I just rolled up at his place and just fucking took him down.
Well, you know? Look, you have the briefcase, so the option is yours.
Oh man,
you can, and by the way, flights are open. You can fly to L.A.
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah, Tula. Yeah. I saw you talking about how you. I was seeing if you would notice when I talk shit about you on that last one. I mean, I barely talked any shit. I just thought it was funny.
It's a great cover. I think you meant every word, and I think it's a great cover to tell Tulo that you knew and you did it because you know he knew.
Yeah.
That's all.
We're talking about AEW. Is there anything you want me to leave in that you guys said that was funny?
All of it.
Should I leave it all in?
The whole thing.
Sure.
Even that 20-second pause.
Okay. AEW. So, Shebs, let's talk about AEW for a bit. Tulo has been pretty critical on the Patreon episode of AEW as of late. How are you feeling about AEW? Had been catching up.
AEW is incredible. Okay, it's so much fun. It's so awesome. It reminds me so much of back in the day, pre-2000, when there was another big promotion, when you had WCW and WWE. I didn't even really like WCW that much. There was some great stuff. It's great to have a number two in there too. There's just that threat of, yo, I could go somewhere else if this isn't working. I mean, how many guys showed up there and it's been fucking incredible? How good has Jericho been? When Miro showed up, when Rusev showed up, yeah. I came in my pants. He looks so good and he's so free and he's just having a fucking blast. I cannot, the sky's the limit for this guy.
I don't like what they're doing with him in AEW, but I like it. I love that he's over there.
He's got the official AEW haircut beard combo. Is a short blonde bleach blonde hair with a beard. He has it. Stu Grayson. No, not Stu Grayson. The Blade has it.
Evil Uno?
No, the Blade has it. Miro has it. When you go to AEW, you bleach your hair blonde. You cut it short. You grow a beard. Brown. That's the look. Look. Buddy, you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me how great Bailey's been. Miro's been there for 3 weeks. You're not giving him a fucking chance. You gave Bailey 7 years to have half a fucking match, and you're not going to give Miro
really
the benefit of the doubt.
I dislike what Miro's doing in AEW.
I dislike it so much.
I love what he looks like, although his gear is Jabron's own.
I just don't.
The fact that he's a video gamer over there is not my bag.
That's
at
not,
all.
Guys, you guys, I don't even know who I'm talking to. Are you wrestling fans? Do you know what wrestling is? Wrestling is 75% a waste of your fucking time, okay? He's going to take months to find out this gimmick. For everybody who's ever apologized or sympathized with the Dark Order and said it's not that bad, whoever's like, no, but they'll do this, then no one has any right to say shit about Miro. In those 3 weeks, he's done more interesting or fun stuff than the Dark Order has in their entire time.
I mean, like the Dark Order, but they stopped trying with the Dark Order.
Look, all I'm saying is this. The guy's been there for a fucking minute. They haven't even had the bachelor party yet. He had a segment where he's in an arcade and Billy Mitchell from King of Kong shows up next to him and agrees to help him plan a bachelor party. You're going to tell me that this isn't exciting? Are you out of your fucking mind?
I do like that. I just think that my thing
would be –
Okay. That is
– Tulo, have you seen the King of Kong?
No.
The documentary about Donkey Kong. So that's the thing. So that's why you didn't – it was out of your jurisdiction. Right. Here's the thing. In AEW, and I'm not saying it's a great segment, and I'm not saying Miro's been crushing it, and I'm not saying, oh, my God, everything they do is incredible, but what's exciting about having that number two, what's exciting about having a non-WWE alternative, okay, is that those guys are just going to do whatever the fuck they feel like trying to do that they can figure out.
And
like
Jericho –
and Jericho's
that's
doing
what he decided to do. Like,
buddy, let me finish. Jericho did a Mimosa Mayhem match that's so goddamn funny. Who cares if it's successful? We got bubbly. You got orange juice. That's a mimosa. Let's make it a match. And they let him do it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Miro.
I like the idea more than I like that actual match.
But that's what's important.
I love that they let him do it.
But that's what's important. But guys, I'm talking to the fucking circles here. Wrestling is bad. 75% of it is going to be a miss. It's going to suck a lot. Often, but because they have that freedom, when they swing that big and it actually hits, it is going to go so much fucking further out of the park. It's going to blow your goddamn mind. Okay, if you're saying that Bailey is going to surprise you with something and oh, her great day is going to come,
dude, I completely agree with you in the sense that, like, let's talk about Miro as an example. Okay, I agree that he's better off not being booked by Vince than he is doing like trying his own thing. What I'm saying is that I always find that he always has this layer of like, I'm like being funny, a little bit of detachment from his strength that I don't like. That reminds me of like late rock work. You
sure,
know what I mean?
Sure.
Where I'm like, I want willing, more commitment.
I'm just saying, all the time I get shit from all you fucking mark ass tricks and mark ass bitches because I don't give this a chance or that a chance. What I'm saying is, I'm willing and able and gable to give Miro a chance.
Well, willing,
I'm not saying
ready,
it's perfect.
Gable.
I'm not saying it's perfect right now. I'm saying this guy, I'm going to give a chance. This guy shows up looking like that, that much lean, like shredded it up, and also super jacked, in ring looking incredible. He's sporting the right haircut, bleach blonde short crop with a brown beard. He's got Billy Mitchell in there, and he's just going for it. I'm saying, yo, I don't know what's going to happen, but I like what's on the table, and I'm ready to eat.
Rusev was like the number one guy I was saying they should sign. I was like, that guy.
100%. And they signed him, and yeah, guess what? They're letting him fuck around with video games for a couple weeks. Fine. That's not going to be his gimmick. Tulo, just to fill you in and to fill in any, to fill in anybody who doesn't know what the King of Kong is, okay? Yeah. And Dan, by the way, now that Billy Mitchell has been on AEW, the King of Kong can be in the
Cow.
Did
he get canceled or something, Billy Mitchell?
Billy Mitchell got canceled the second he got famous. Everyone's like, yo, that guy's an asshole. Like, yeah. No one – he was never not canceled.
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell, Tulo, and for everyone listening, there is a documentary called The King of Kong.
I think he won an Oscar, right?
I don't know. It should have. It is one of the best documentaries ever. It is about the competitive world of Donkey Kong record breaking. So it's basically two guys – are going neck and neck to see who could out record the other at Donkey Kong, like the 80s OG video game, right? On arcade console.
Trying to hit the kill screen.
Right, trying to get a kill screen on Kong. And one guy is like this great guy, has some kids. He's like a good dude. He's had a tough life. Like, you know, he was one of those guys who just like never, every time he had a chance to make it, like something just kind of went wrong and like his life is just okay, but he's really obsessed with Donkey Kong and he's doing it. And he found a way to get the record. Then there's this other guy, Billy Mitchell. He's the villain of the movie. He used to have the record. And he was the guy next to Miro in the arcade. He's got like long straightened AJ Styles black hair with an American flag tie. And he's like cheating in the movie. And he's like sicking his minions out to like fuck with the guy's machine. He's like a legit villain in real life, because it's a documentary. Yeah. Trying to like fuck with this guy's, or say like, yo, that's not legit. I think he was cheating. I think he had this thing in his machine. It's such a great documentary. You would never imagine that this story would be so captivating, but it is. And Billy Mitchell is the main villain of the documentary, and he showed up in the arcade next to Miro, and he was like, oh, I'll help you plan the bachelor party. It's exciting. It's cool. I'm glad they could do shit like that. Jericho 30, I'm glad they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to give Jericho a whole episode of just celebrating. It was incredible. I loved it.
It is fun. My point with AEW is, and where Tulo and I get into it, is that I find NXT to be kind of boring. Like, it has great matches, blah, blah, blah. But, like, AEW, there's a shoddiness to AEW that is, like, a blast. It feels like if we had a camera when we were coming up in UCB.
Sure.
And we were like, filming every show we did. And some of them were shit.
Sure.
And they were slapped together. And I was like, let's try that. And then when they succeed, it's like from this raw place that WWE never has. But I don't think WWE should even necessarily be that. Like, WWE being this super polished produced product, there's a real world for that. So for I love that AEW, I love where wrestling is settling into now, where WWE's got their, both NXT and WWE main roster have got their production level high, high, high. That's what you get from WWE. You know, and then AEW starting to look a little shantier, a little WCW.
Look,
you know?
I agree 100%. Here's the thing. Here's the two phases of the pandemic with wrestling, okay?
Yeah.
Pre-Thunderdome and post-Thunderdome, okay?
Yeah,
the Thunderdome changed the gameplay up, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Dan, and I know you've said this, leading up to Thunderdome, AEW was crushing WWE, like like it was just
it
better.
Felt like
it was
the higher right quality before, product,
right? It was, like, the storylines were better, the matches were better. You have to understand, the beginning of pandemic for WWE was pretty fucking boring. Okay, like it wasn't that good. It was a real lull times, daddy. And AEW was fresh. It was funny. Jericho would jump on commentary every once in a while. He came up with Pineapple Pete. I mean, you have the Inner Circle. You have Matt Hardy. You have the Stadium Stampede. There was so much great, inventive, cool shit. They were just making lemonade out of this weird scenario. They were, because they were able to get loose and play with it, some really cool, fun, interesting shit happened, right? And that wasn't happening on WWE. They were sticking to the script because they have to. And so AEW was outshining WWE big time. Then WWE leaned into their strength, which is we got the money, we've got the production teams, we've got all the staff in place. We could make this stuff look seriously fucking great. They added the Thunderdome, and it really does make AEW look like high school shit.
That wide shot of the Thunderdome when they show all the screens, it makes the NBA look like shit. Like,
it makes every real sport, it makes the Super Bowl look like shit, and it's just a random really Monday Night Raw. Let me ask you this. How good and / how absolutely fake and doctored is the crowd noise in WWE? Like, the crowd chants happen, the reactions happen. But it's definitely not real, right?
Completely. No. But they give wrestlers, like, their exact response they
NXT
want.
NXT like, has a combination.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When I'm watching it, I can't even tell it's fake. I just know rationally, like, there's no fucking way.
They know the spots now. I want to see the guy on the soundboard that's gone, all right, we're going to get a two count here. One. Right. Two, and he gets a crowd. The crowd's
And like, it's amazing, and it's so additive. Meanwhile, AEW could barely even get an in-match replay. They could barely, like, show me the spot again. That's tough.
I like it, though. I like it, but there's something. I like that it's, like, a little shitty, you know?
Right. Something raw. There's something interesting. But that's the thing. Now you really have, for the first time in 20 years, really, truly, like another competitor. Hey, if you don't like this, maybe you like that. Do you like the high polished this thing, or do you like this nittier, grittier, kind of more risks, let's fuck around thing? We have two distinct products. That wasn't Raw versus SmackDown, that bullshit they were trying to sell us on this whole time. Like, oh, no, there's two different brands. Now we actually have two distinct brands, right, for real, of wrestling entertainment. And that's really exciting, and I love it. And sometimes one's going to be better, and sometimes the other is going to be better. And sometimes guys you know that should have got a shake in one are going to do better in the other, like the Revival, like FTR. And sometimes guys who, you know, shouldn't be in one are going to show up in the other one. It's going to be interesting. Jericho said the day he signed the AEW, everyone in WWE got their fucking salary bumped. Yeah. That's amazing. That's great, and I love it.
I don't know if that was true, but he did say that.
Who cares if it's true? It's wrestling, baby. Who knows?
He said everybody owes him a steak dinner. Well, and then on AEW that week, he and MJF agreed to next week have a steak dinner.
Okay. Can we just talk about that for a second?
That shows you a little bit into the inside of the creative process over at AEW, which is like, how Kawhi just shows up and he goes, what if next week me and MJF have a steak dinner? Because I said steak dinner on Busted Open.
But that's the different levels. That's what I love wrestling, when it's firing on kayfabe and behind the scenes. And then behind the scenes,
no cylinders.
What?
I want it firing on no cylinders. Let's do it.
But I'm just saying, how cool is it that, dude, that segment was so successful for me. MJF and Jericho being like, I maybe hypothetically kind of would maybe do it. That's funny. And then plus them getting each other's face and be like, you and me, one-on-one. Steak dinner, and it's like, you're on. That's incredible. That's so funny.
I loved that.
That's so funny.
It missed
so
for
good.
Me in the moment. I wasn't really like feeling it, but I know what will come. I know what will come after it, which will be the part that I'll like. You know,
dude, they're
taking
these stale, boring, recycled a million times energies and tropes that you'll see in WWE, and it's a satire.
I wouldn't say they're connecting on all of it, though.
Of course they're not. Dark Order's in there, and it's the biggest piece of shit in all of wrestling. I'm just saying, when there's bad, it's gonna be bad, but when it's good, they're gonna be doing stuff that WWE cannot do.
Yeah.
That satire of the two guys squaring off, you're on, buddy, but not about a match, but instead about a steak dinner, is so refreshing and hilarious. I loved it. At the end of Jericho 30, I laughed out fucking loud, and I don't do that ever.
The credits?
At the end of the episode, not just the credits, but the SNL piano music started playing, and everyone came out to celebrate. All the heels came out, and they did the good nights. They were all waving good night from the AEW hard cam. That is so fucking entertaining to me. That is so much fun to watch. And Jericho is the fucking mastermind, man. Jericho is a fucking mastermind. I cannot speak highly enough of Jericho.
I feel like they almost kind of like got ahead of me in a way when they did the thing where MJF gave him a picture of himself as the gift, and then Jericho wasn't mad about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, all right, actually, that was pretty funny. All right, enjoy the show. Like, it's right. And then, by the way, he gave that Judas effect to that clown, and he went flying.
I think that guy's dead. He's got to be dead, right?
Oh, my God. I do want to take a quick negativity break to say the Judas effect is incredible. Successful strike finish. Jericho pulls it off. I had the misfortune of seeing Big Swole's finisher this week or last week, which is just a Judas effect, only she spins the other way. She hits you like with a front elbow. That lady needs a better finisher, man. That shit is so underwhelming. It's like a joke.
She can have a lot more to be defined with her.
God. What a joke. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Jericho's fucking crushing it. The thing about AEW is, AEW, you're absolutely right. It's a little bit shantier than WWE. Yeah. But they have a little bit more of that grittiness, that grit that Edge has, right? And it has all these old kind of semi-washed up guys kind of, in there. Like to see Dustin is really funny. To see fucking QT Marshall, as Jericho called him one time, which is amazing. Yeah. To see all the – it's funny to have Tony Schiavone in there, who's an absolute nightmare, right? Like, it really feels to me like WCW and ECW merged and had a baby, and that's what AEW is. But that's an awesome lane to be. It's the ultimate alternative to WWE, and it is so good. And Cody Rhodes is doing work every time you see this fucking guy.
Dude, he's amazing.
He is giving you the best pro wrestling that exists on television. Every time, no matter what, lights out. It is so fucking good.
Shabir, I said it when he was gone for those 6 weeks. It was fucking a horror show without him around, man. Oh, it really was.
I can't speak highly enough of this fucking guy. Like, it is so great.
When he's not around, they're lost. Then they're like the Bucks.
Then it's like the Bucks, like trying to be funny and trying to be badasses. And it's like kind of working and it's kind of fun to see. And yeah, his hair got longer and that's kind of interesting. It's a very beautiful hair he has. But it's like Cody is the guy. There's no question. Cody is so the goddamn guy. He may be the best wrestler wrestling today. He very well may be. I don't know.
He's looking jacked, too.
This is the one thing that's funny about it, is he put on some muscle, clearly, and then, like, you know that he also gets to script the shit because he's, like...
Yeah, they're, like, they talked about it.
They keep mentioning that he put on 14 pounds of pure muscle. I love it. It's, like, specifically, and I bet in, like, 2 or 3 weeks it's going to be 15. Like, he's telling you exactly how much muscle he put on, and you have to say it, and it's incredible. Look, by the way, when he came back with the black hair for some reason for a couple weeks... Yeah. As like Diablo Cody, I think Dan, you said that.
I called him Diablo Cody.
Did you say it on the pod or no?
No, I haven't said.
Such a funny call. It deserves being mentioned on the podcast.
Dan called it Diablo Cody.
Diablo Cody with the black hair. He came back dressed like a Devil May Cry character, just dressed like a bad guy in a video game. And he looked fucking incredible.
Tricked us into buying a t-shirt.
Tricked me into buying a t-shirt. I have 3 Cody t-shirts. I'm going to get 7 more. I have no regrets. He comes in. His matches are incredible. His in-ring is incredible. His promos make me almost cry. The promo he had during this quarantine, there was one promo. Man, what was it leading up to? It was like was there a debate? Did he have a debate at some point with someone?
Yeah.
Jericho and MJF, Jericho had a debate or something with what's his name? Orange Cassidy. But there was some other, who was Cody feuding with earlier in the pandemic? I don't even remember. Probably. I don't know, but he cut a promo where he was talking about how he is so proud to call himself a professional wrestler, and he's given his whole life to being a professional wrestler, and he did this so he could support wrestling. I mean, I'm almost in tears.
You just cut that this week.
No, there was one even further ago. The one this week was incredible. I'm in tears with this guy. It's so emotional.
Shebs, we went way over time here. I got one more thing to say. All right, say it, and then let's do it. Remember, this is brought to you, all this bonus content. This is not our main episode. This is an extra episode. Sign up on the Patreon, patreon.com/comedianswrestling.
This is brought to you by my new pitch.
You can hear Shebs talk about, we have the RKO special that you can hear on any tier on the Patreon. Ranking RKOs.
Wrestling, the best thing about wrestling and the thing that wrestling is most about is respect. It's all about respect. I love when respect is given. I love when respect is taken. I love when respect is earned. And the amount of respect that was flying around to Jericho 30.
Someone you idolize.
Absolutely. There was so much respect It was so beautiful to see. He had respect from musicians, from other wrestlers.
Oh,
he had his father. He had his father, Ted Irvine, saying, "I'm proud of you. I love watching you entertain us."
All right. Play,
so much
play
respect. Tulo, are you disrespecting the concept of respect?
Play him off.
You don't like – let me – Dan, mute this fucking guy because he's disrespecting respect. How you look, I understand you want to give me disrespect. You're going to disrespect actual respect? Dan, you got to mute this guy. It's out of control. I don't know what's going on. Mute him immediately. Mute him immediately. This is disgusting.
Just keep going. The respect going on. Tulo wasn't – I guess he wasn't feeling the Jericho 30.
It's a real sad thing to be a huge fucking mark for the biggest corporate product in America and really shit on
don't
homegrown
even,
respect.
Oh,
homegrown
stop
respect.
It.
Grassroots
stop it. Don't come back.
Respect.
Don't come back day one. Don't fucking come back day one and think you fucking know what's going on. Because I've been here while you've been away sulking in the fucking corner, right, buddy? I've been here showing up all the time.
I've been here
weekend.
For 12 years.
Exactly. And I've been showing up and giving my opinion. So you just come back here and think you think I know, you know what I'm
well,
about?
Well, look, Tulo, here's all I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say,
you know me?
I'm going to say scoreboard, bitch. I'm glad you tanked the goddamn show for a couple months. Let's watch how many more listeners we get that I'm fucking back, baby.
I'm so
you're
so
welcome. You can follow me at Shabiro. That's Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar. You can check out my real radio show on an actual radio service that people pay for on SiriusXM. Thursdays at 4 p.m., the Raw Report, Channel 99. Tune in live every week. We talk to big, big celebrity guests, not Nick Tulo from Long Island, but, you know, people on TV and stuff, like Skylar Astin. And also check out my other podcast.
Here too.
Throwback Explains It All. New episodes every Throwback Thursday. That is in partnership with the greatest vintage store in all of New York City, Mr. Throwback. And, of course, guys, it bears repeating. Follow me at Shabiro on all your social media. I'm so glad I'm back to help bring this show to a new era.
Don't worry. We'll sprinkle them in here and there. not piss off too many people. But Tulo, everyone. So listen, this is
I'm leaving
episode.
For this part of the exit. I don't like the way I was treated. There was a lot of disrespect flying around. It's bullshit.
Right. Okay.
I'm out of here.
Okay. Go. Peace, bro. So anyway, this episode, this is a bonus episode of the podcast. Came out on Monday. The return of Jason Shapiro and Tulo going at it. But we have to, look, times were rough on here. Times rough.
Just
times
were
also down.
Talk.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just gotta let him talk.
Don't worry,
man.
The main episode will come out this week. But everybody, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Bonus episode, AEW NXT Friday. AEW NXT centric episodes come out Friday morning, and the CalZoom Thunderdome will be during Hell in a Cell on October 25th. So if you're at that tier, and also there's one last Cal Movie Club episode for this season. But we'll have season 3 of the Cal Movie Club next year. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening, and keep watching wrestling. Kisses, cheers up.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go.